This is the Riabu podcast with Simon Littlewood and Mark Lowdy. The gig economy, it's the big savior of all those people who wanted to go freelance and now they can. It's been around for some years, the ability to work for a variety of companies without having any employment contracts, any attachments in the traditional sense. But being a freelancer, while it sounds very romantic, you know, being your own boss and all of that, is in actual fact also a problem when you're trying to get paid on time. You don't have the corporate infrastructure that you might need to chase people for payment. And so between the work that you're actually doing for customers, you're also on the phone chasing previous customers to send you a check. Freelance workers lost an average of £5,400 in 2017, according to statistics from the UK Association of Independent Professionals and the Self-Employed. Late payments, according to the National Federation of Self-Employment and Small Business, cost the UK economy £2.5 billion each year. And Simon Littlewood, I suspect the situation in other parts of the world are not dissimilar.
And this has not changed in a very long time. As you were saying this, I remembered when I was 20 years old and I was teaching sailing in Wales, and my fellow sailing instructor had his own graphic design business. And because of non-payment by customers for whom he'd done a whole ton of work, he'd lost the business, sold his home, and was now living out of a tent and teaching young people how to sail up and down Lake Langorse. Right. And that's a long time ago. That's more than 40 years ago. So, you know, this issue of I'm a sole proprietor, or I'm an innovator, or, you know, I struggle to get paid. This is a huge issue. It's a huge issue here in Singapore, but it's a huge issue in general.
The irony is that in the UK, they've had the benefit of the Late Payment Act since 1998, and yet still people are getting paid late. Now, by some measures, you know, in the Philippines, for example, Senator Paolo Aquino IV has proposed a measure to try to give more protection and more incentives for freelancers, a 250,000 peso fine for employers where the employer doesn't pay the worker. But the fact of the matter is that if you're a freelancer, you can't rely on government legislation. You can't rely on outsourcing your collections necessarily to a collections agency, Simon.
Well, the opportunities for corruption in the Philippines, should that actually happen, just beggar imagination. This is not the province of government. This is a province of knowing your commercial situation and managing it in a savvy way.
But how can freelancers, without, as I mentioned, you know, that corporate structure, the lawyers and the accountants and all of those people, without their benefit, how can they actually make sure that they get paid on time?
First of all, there are things that they can do to maximize the opportunity for payment, and one of them for a prompt payment. And as you and I have said on countless occasions, this issue of governments mandating who has to pay when is a complete red herring. It's a red herring because what happens in just about every situation is that your customer finds a plausible reason for not paying you. He doesn't say, I'm not paying you because I don't want to. He might in some cases, but generally he's saying, well, you know, your invoice is a mess, or we didn't get it, or there was an issue with quality, or, you know, generally the secret to managing your payments in a timely way is to ensure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed with your customer, and that you manage that relationship in detail to be accurate right from the start. And so many people that I talk to neglect this.
But as a freelancer, you might not feel that you have the bargaining power. If you're a one-man, you know, graphic designer turned sailing instructor, then sitting opposite a senior marketing manager, a CMO, and his or her team of people, and, you know, it doesn't feel like the sort of environment where you have the bargaining power to slam your fist on the table and say, damn it, you've got to pay me on time.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't ever advocate that particular solution, as you know very well, because we've talked about it a lot. The reality is that any customer who isn't actually malign, and most companies aren't malign, are going to be sensitive to the lot of the sole practitioner. The fact of the matter is the sole practitioners are really bad at admin. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I might include people that I know very well in that, you know, because they don't pride themselves on admin. They pride themselves on whatever it is they do. They're designers, you know, they're lawyers, they're architects, whatever they are. Because most customers aren't malign, if you manage that relationship in the right way, you can generally manage to get paid on time. If there are structural reasons why they can't pay you on time, what are the things that you do when you're setting up the relationship? You don't leave payment to last. You include that in your commercial discussion. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what I'm going to charge you for it. Here's what my payment terms are. Can we just check that you're okay with that and you can pay me on time? And can you tell me how that mechanism works within your company? This is terribly important because this is where stuff will come out like the complexities that they've deliberately created, possibly in their payment processes, which is very common now with large companies, that are going to make it structurally difficult for them to pay you in anything less than 60 days or 90 days. But you're better off knowing that than going in with a set of terms that maybe don't work, or where, you know, the guy that likes you, that wants to pay you, can't actually influence it. You know?
So what you're saying is that as a freelancer, you actually have, you have them on your side to an extent. You have them feeling a bit sorry for you, if to put it another way.
If you can learn to be as professional about terms and conditions, and by that I mean pricing, deliverables, service, and payment, as you are presumably about the other things that you do, your lawyering or your designing or whatever it is, then actually you can significantly affect the outcome. It's very important that people understand this, and if you don't understand this, contact us, we can explain it to you. Yeah. Contrary to what is widely perceived, payments, receivables, collecting money are not arcane. They're not beyond your ability to influence. Mm. It's just that you have to do things that you may not be comfortable with, which, however, you can learn.
Yes. Yeah. And so I guess just to wrap up then, actually you can probably punch above your weight in a sense, because if you're sitting opposite that CMO, as I was explaining, laying out your graphic design ideas, and you then start to, in a very professional tone, talk about some of the things that surround that, such as payment terms.
From the very beginning,
as you're still negotiating the deal and whether or not you'll get hired, actually look like you're a much bigger organization
Plus, we've talked about this question of modality. You can have a very friendly discussion at the beginning where certain things can be agreed and certain things can be tabled which are not perceived as toxic or adversarial.